You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy-to-learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode. We recorded this episode before the COVID-19 self-quarantine. Stay safe, everyone.
What's going on, guys? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. And on this week's episode, we have the author of How to Get Your First 100,000 Podcast Downloads in 100 Days, Luis Ryan Diaz. What's going on, bro?
Dude, it's been a while. How you been?
Bro, it's been a while, but look, man, I thought it was very important for you to get on this podcast just because of the massive amount of value that I have gotten and my team has gotten from associating ourselves with you and the content that you put out. We actually met you in Tampa last year with a bunch of our friends, Laura, the guys from Social X, ton of people are out there. We were speaking on a panel to a great crowd. And I remember you speaking about podcasting, and that's when I was first starting out my podcast. I just had an episode with Andy Frisella out. I had an episode out with Jeff Cole. You know, we were doing our thing, but we were trying to learn. By we, I mean my team and I, right? So we came across your book that day. You were giving out books to people, and I took it upon myself to finish the book, go through the book, write notes on the book, and implement a lot of these strategies into our podcast. Yeah. And we've seen explosive growth, right? A mixture of our efforts, a mixture of what you've taught us, a mixture of the relationships that you've connected for us. And not only that, we've been able to help a lot of podcasters because a lot of people always ask, how do I grow my podcast? How do I get out there more? How can I get featured more? How can I just be seen? And I just direct them towards your book, man. I don't know how many dozens of people last year read your book from recommendations we sent out, but if they receive value from it, I am very excited because I know I did, right? So I wanted bring you on the podcast today so you could talk a little bit about your experience in podcasting, what you do, and just, you know, hit it off, man.
Cool, dude. I appreciate it. And it's funny because I remember you were on the panel before me, and gives people some context. There's multiple panels in this event. There was a personal branding one, which you were on. I was on the podcasting one, and you were up before us, and you stuck out to me because you had a very, very concise way of like explaining it and really answering some of the people's questions about personal branding. And I think I asked you a question. I can't remember what the question was, but I remember I was really impressed by the answer. And I was like, okay, wow. Like, I had never heard you before either. I was like, wow, like this guy's good. He knows his stuff. So dude, first of all, I want to highlight a couple of things you said there. You read the book in its entirety and you took action on the things that were in the book, which 99% of people, myself included, a lot of the time, like, just don't read the entire book and don't like take action on the steps. Because the answers are out there, right? So I want to applaud you for that, dude. And that's just like the first thing I would say, you know, when it comes to podcasting, like, the answers are out there for a lot of people. It's just a matter of, do you have time and patience to implement them and see them kind of fulfill and go to fruition, man? So, dude, that's the first thing I would say there. I think that was just really, when you were speaking, just that just kind of came out the top of my head. I'm like, wow, like, that's really important. I don't think enough people do that. Growing podcasts, I don't think, or anything else.
Well, let me be honest, bro. Like, you know, growing up, you know, middle school, high school, college, I did my thing. I studied, you know, I got my grades, you know, I knew what I had to do. But I mean, at least in my experience as a kid, you know, adults telling you to read a book, do this, do that. You kind of like want to do the opposite, you know? You want to do your own thing. You think you're right about everything. And then slowly life starts like shaping and molding you in a way where you ultimately have to end up going back to doing the things that they were telling you to do in school. And it's not because it's not something that you should jump into because you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
It should be something that you want to do because you want to, right? And I'll explain to you exactly what I mean right now. So I have a ton of books, right? I'm sitting down here in my desk. I have a ton of books here that I haven't even read or that I started and never finished. And I sit there and I look at them. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to finish them one day. But here's the thing. I'll sit down and read the books. And I won't remember shit after a week. I don't remember shit. I didn't implement anything. I just kind of sat there for hours reading a book. And maybe some of it stayed in my subconscious. Maybe two or three things stuck with me, but that's it. So in the recent weeks, in the recent months, I've taken a new approach to this. And this is something that I took with your book as well, which was read the book, but stop. And even though it takes me longer, stop. Write notes down on the main things that you like. Do it on a Google Doc. Do it on a Google Sheet, wherever you log your notes. And then from there, you could transfer it to Asana and you could actually create action items in order for you to move forward in whatever it is that you're doing. So I have your book right in front of me right here and I have highlighted stuff. I have pages marked. I am sitting here in front of my Asana and I have notes from some great questions you have in your book that allowed me to better reach my audience. Questions like, where are my listeners meeting online? What is their age or their job goals? What products or books are they buying? What magazines do they read? What YouTube channels or IG pages do they follow? And the questions could go on and on, right? Like, who is our listener? We need to learn about the fundamentals of entrepreneurship, building relationships, maintaining relationships, organization. This is what our listeners are doing. They're on Facebook, they're on YouTube, they're on Instagram, right? Core tips that you talked about, like using BuzzSumo to figure out phrases and topics and getting lots of shares on social media. Host podcasts on Libian or Simplecast, things like that. Like when we were first starting out, like, where do we host our podcast? Where do we put it? Where do we do this? Like, reading this book really got us through it. So I want to talk to you about your process, right? Because writing this, I'm sitting here and looking at this book. This book is over 100 pages. How is this process for you? Because I know I'm writing myself. It's no easy task.
Right. Yeah. It's not, it's totally not. That's a good question. We can definitely, let's dive in there, dude. And for me, the process of building a podcast has actually evolved a lot from just understanding those basic questions. Like when I first started out, I was like, what kind of mic do I need? What kind of hosting? All the basic surface level stuff. But when you get down to it, nowadays, when I start to build a podcast for somebody or they ask me questions about it, it's number one, it's three things. Number one, who is your listener? That sounds really base level, but like getting into the more the psychology of like, what are their core pains and problems? What do they like? What do they complain to their friends about? Like, if you're just like drinking coffee with a friend, like, or your ideal listener is, what are they complaining about on a day to day basis? Is it their boss? Is it their Instagram page isn't growing as fast as they want it to? Is it, is it their lack of finances or they got to finish school? You know, we come from the same area, so it's a lot of our like. I'm sure, a lot of your friends are like. Maybe getting a master's degree at FAU or FIU in South Florida. And you hear about that stuff. Like, man, I got 9 more credits to go. So getting into the psychological pain points of your audience, like where are they at in their journey in life? That's where I like to hit home. And that's where I like to start off. For people looking like, what are the couple of episodes I need to produce in the beginning? It's always for me, what are the biggest pain points or questions that my customers are asking me? Or they're complaining about right now. So I like to start with the questions of the biggest pain points when it comes to body that's coming comes to launching a podcast. That's number one. That's the first tier. Second tier is how is my show going to be different? And for example, I came across a really cool podcast the other day called Problem Solvers. And it's all about bringing on the best experts or people who have had really crazy problems and how they solve them. Nice. So it's a really, really cool angle. So I like to look at those kind of shows because that show is going to, it's always going to be in style because we always want to know how we solve these problems, whether it's health, financial, relationship, whatever.
Credit, whatever. Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like you can, that angle, the way he's approached that show has allowed him to grow fast, have a huge audience. And it's a topic we're always going to want to learn about. So layer number two is about the show concept. Like how is your show going to be different? What problem are you going to be solving in the marketplace? And how is your audience, your listener going to benefit from it, right? Because we see a lot of shows out here just interview experts. And sometimes there's not a clear benefit or reason why I'm listening. So that's a big issue. And it's a lot of times you'll see podcasts like that flatline and then they'll die. And they'll usually spiral out in a year in a year or so. So to prevent that, you've got to have a big question or a big thing you're trying to solve behind it, you know? So for me, a podcast is more like a mission. Like if you're going to start a podcast, what's kind of the mission behind it? So layer number two is like figuring out the question. And feel free to stop, jump in here, Alex, anytime you want.
Yeah.
Layer number two is like, what's the concept of the show and how is that going to help my listener? The third thing here is, and this is all like on my blueprint doc when I work with bigger clients and they have an idea, but they haven't fleshed it out yet. Third thing is here's listener acquisition. So like, how am I going to get people to actually realize? You got to realize that there's over 800,000 podcasts, probably even more now, in the Apple podcast directory. So you're one out of 800,000 plus. How are you going to get people to actually know about you, like you, trust you? So that comes down to how are we going to acquire new listeners on a daily basis? So thinking through that and figuring out, like you were saying before with those questions, where's my audience already? Because I can guarantee you the people you're looking to talk to are they're already out there in some kind of community.
Yeah.
They're already on some other podcasts or something. So those are kind of the three core tenets that you want to solve before you're thinking about your mic or your hosting or any
of your guests.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's a huge boom in podcasting. We've talked about this on many phone calls. We talk all the time.
Yeah.
The thing is that now that there's the boom in podcasting, the first movers already had the first movers advantage, second movers. Mm-hmm. Now people that are coming in and realizing this are trying to start podcasts about anything. And we must realize that it now is the way social media started becoming a few years ago, which was something not as general, but something now that became niched down based on interest. Now, there's podcasts about Star Wars. There's podcasts about being vegan. There's podcasts about everything. So like you're saying, if you're going to start a podcast, if you're looking to get into that space, make sure you're solving a problem.
Yeah.
Even if it means going through your three-step process or whatever process they feel like they need to go through after reading your book or after consulting with you, which by the way, they don't know. Now they're going to know you help people grow their podcast. You help people scale their podcasting endeavors, and you've had some pretty successful people behind you. One of them being us with our super successful podcast. We've learned so much from you. We're very grateful to you. But the main thing is, and you know, when we started out, we didn't have it all together, but was who is listening? Sure. What problem do you need to solve for them? What issues are they currently facing? And how can you help them face those issues in order for you to have good retention? Right. And besides that, it's not just putting out a podcast episode and just throwing it out there. Let's say on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, you have to be omnipresent, right? So
exactly.
Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Podcast One, Himalaya, Pandora is a huge one for us, iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. You got to be everywhere. Because for example, you know, let's say that 10% of your audience comes from Pandora. You would have never thought Pandora was going to give you results because maybe you don't listen to podcasts on Pandora, but you don't realize that Pandora spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars last year accommodating their platform just for podcasting. Now Spotify is on the same boat. So be on the same boat as everybody is on social media, which is find the right niche and the right thing to talk about and make sure you're well-versed in it. If you're not, then have the right guest. If you're not, then make sure you study. If you're not, make sure that your audience at least knows that you're just getting into this and that you're just having an open-ended conversation about what this could mean. And you, and in turn, you learn together by maybe bringing a guest on that could speak about the subject. But it's always very important to think about the audience first, because a lot of the times we create content thinking other people would want to read it, hear it, or see it. And that's not really the case. That's why it's great to look at BuzzSumo. That's why it's great to look at tools like Uber Suggest, SEM Rush, to see what people are searching for, see what problems people are having in order for you to be able to go and solve it for them. Right.
Yeah. I like to reverse engineer. I like to back into things. Right. So instead of trying to, like, a lot of times you'll see people, they want to start a podcast, but they don't know what about.
Yeah.
And I like to start with, like, well, what are some of the problems you have in your life? And could you start a podcast to essentially bring people on who could help you with that problem through in talking with them? And then by doing that, you also solve a lot of other people's problems because you're probably not the only one going through this, right? So backing into the question or backing into the how, what am I going to talk about in my podcast? Let's start with you and what are your problems or what are your what are similar problems that things that like people your age or demographic don't really or have are struggling with right now. I think that's if for someone who's just starting out as a hobby, that's probably the best way to go. When it comes to more of a podcast that's more business related, it's got to be based on the audience. So cool thing about social media is that we can really get a pulse of who our audience is and what they want by doing like an Instagram story post. Like, would you want me to talk about how I made 100K in a month on my podcast? Yes or no? Or, you know, you can pose polls, questions.
Yeah,
polls all day. And you can find out really quickly what the audience wants.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's great research. And you get it. It's free. You get exactly who you want to, you know, polls or answers from the people you want to speak to. It's amazing. And then to your point with BuzzSumo, a lot of the best stuff, I heard this from Pat Flynn, and pretty much like it's like this. Here's the deal. Everything you want to talk about has already been talked about. It's more about how you say it and your view on it is what's going to make it different. Like podcasting, there's a million other guys who do what I do. There's a million other agencies who do what we do. But how I talk about it and how I position it is how I make it different and better and useful for people. So there's nothing that you have that's going to be new and novel, really. It's more about how do you position it and what's your take on it. So adding your own style.
Yeah. So going back to what you were saying just now. So one of the reasons I started the podcast was because I'm a marketer. I build brands. I scale brands through marketing strategies, digital marketing, strategic partnerships. And I had seen a lot of success in the things that I had been doing over the past few years. So I felt like there was a lot I could share with people who were maybe at a level where I was a few years ago. And then I also knew that me associating myself with people who were a higher level than me would allow me to learn. And while I'm learning in conversation, while I'm learning in interview, while I'm learning by asking the right questions, the people listening to me in turn will be able to learn as well. So I believe it's a really nice marriage of the listener, podcast host, and guests when we do have guests, because the guest is, you know, getting to talk about their platform, spread their message. They're able to spread wealth. You know, knowledge transfer and skill transfer. They're able to converse with you as a podcast guest, and you as a podcast guest, you more or less know your audience already, so you know what kind of questions your people will ask. Right. You're able to ask those questions, and one of the great ways to engage, and one of the things that we do on social media, especially with my personal page, is when we know we're going to have a guest on, we will ask, we'll tell our audience, "Hey, we're going to have this person on. If you have any questions, let us know, and we'll try to ask them that question." Or, "Hey, which of these topics would you like to talk about?" Or we'll do a poll on Instagram stories and stuff like that, and then take it from there. A lot of people overlook the fact that they have an audience. You don't have to have 10,000, 1,000, 500 story viewers a day or per story for you to be able to get good feedback from people, right? Yeah. Everybody has an ecosystem, especially if they're active on social media. There's 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people. People are watching, people are interested, and people know what's going on. So if you take it upon yourself to just ask, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. If you ask, people will tell most of the time. And those are the things that people are trying to hear. And it makes it much easier for you to create content because you already know what people are looking for. So you're not struggling and hoping, hey, you know, is this something that's going to work? Is this something that they're going to like? You genuinely already have a communication with your audience. And we recently talked about this with Charlie Rocket. We recorded a podcast episode with him. We're going to be releasing soon, probably hand in hand with yours. And one of the things that we talk about with him is he is very grateful for the big following that he has and everybody that follows him. However, that's not what motivates him. What motivates him is how can he give every single person that follows him or listens to his podcast a unique experience for them to feel part of the movement, part of what's going on, and like they were taken care of. A lot of the people in the space right now are looking for hundreds and millions of downloads, but without purpose, right? Yeah. What is the substance? What are you actually sharing? How are you helping people? What are you doing to follow up on that conversation to make it real? And that's something that people need to stop overlooking, which is the importance of your people. Even if it's 20 people, even if you have 20 listeners, that's 20 living, breathing human beings with their own life and their own things and their own shit to do, that are taking time out of their day to come listen to you. If you have 100 listeners per episode, if you have 500, if you have thousands, like we've been able to do now after a year, those are thousands of people. Bro, think about, let's say this episode right now gets 4,000 listens, 5,000 listens. Try to put 5,000 people in a room. They won't fit, man.
No.
You need a fucking arena for that shit. Oh, that's how many people are listening to you if you're at that point. Or whether you have 20, 30, or 100, it doesn't matter. Put 100 people in a room. That's a lot of influence. That's a lot of people you could tap into for questions. One of the great things we do on our podcast, and we ask people to text us. So we have our phone number on our Instagram. So you go on my Instagram, Alex Quinn, you put contact, text, you'll be able to text me right away. And I get the text message, right?
Nice.
So we have people text in any questions, any concerns they have. And if I can't answer, the team is answering, right?
Right.
If we can't answer, we send them another podcast episode that addresses that issue or a blog or something like that. So taking people off the podcast platform, finding them where they are and being able to give them that value. Because as you know, when you have a podcast, you have it on RSS.
Right.
It's being spread everywhere. You don't know how many subscribers you have from Spotify or from Apple Podcasts, or you don't really know. You can't send out a mass blast. You can't do anything. You just have the podcast out there and it's streaming. So as that develops and as analytics and metrics develop, in podcasting, you got to be able to find ways to go and reconnect with your audience or find them in other places to be able to remind them that you have podcast episodes so they could listen. Because in such a fast-paced world, shit going on, so many things going on, even if we love a podcast, we might forget that it even exists or that it might help us. So we need to give people that push in order for them to know.
Yeah, that's a great, great point.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
One of the things I want to talk about there, what you said, with bringing guests on, one of the things we don't realize is that we're borrowing credibility. And this is how some of the biggest names in media or biggest names who are like artists or actors, this is how they built their name. They borrowed credibility from another person. So if you get on with Neil Patel and Andy Frisella, this is borrowing credibility from their name. And now it's like, oh, guess what? Alex Quinn is interviewing Andy Frisella. How do you get that hookup? How do you do that? So now it automatically raises your level of awareness. And people see you now as a more credible source. So
authority hijacking.
Exactly.
that's what one of my mentors, Jeremy Haynes, calls it, authority hijacking. And it's great because people will show you a level of respect or admiration or even give you the time of day in some instances when they see that somebody of high power, of high caliber has associated themselves with you. So therefore you hijack part of that authority.
Exactly.
I wouldn't, let's dive a little bit deep into, you just mentioned Neil Patel, Andy Frisella. These are people that are widely known in the space. Andy Frisella having the MFCO project as well as his new podcast, being some of the top podcasts out there right now. Neil Patel, one of the top entrepreneurs, Randy Zuckerberg, a lot of the guests that I've had, how have we done it? And this is something that people always ask, well, I don't have a big track record. How do we get people to pay attention to me? Honestly, what you need to start paying attention to is to the power of relationships.
Right.
In today's world, we write somebody a DM, they don't write us back, we get pissed. If we don't get immediately what we want, we get upset and we move on to the next thing. Time does everything for us. Okay, Lewis, we've known each other for a year, bro. We're finally doing a podcast.
Right.
Bro, you get me? We've seen each other in person one time. We've had so many back and forth conversations, but we've built a relationship. We've built a business relationship. We've talked to each other. That's the key. Why?
Yeah.
That's how we got to Andy Frisella. That's how we got to Neil Patel. Andy Frisella didn't know me. We didn't know his team. We didn't know anything about each other, but I had built great relationships with people who were able to connect us, get the word to him, and him accept for us to fly out to him to do the podcast. Same thing with Neil Patel. Same thing with Randy Zuckerberg. Same thing with Jeff Cole from Iconic. Same thing with so many people that we have on the podcast, but it's building relationships, maintaining relationships, finding people in common, right?
Yeah.
So if you know you want to interview somebody or you know you want to get a hold of somebody and you know somebody in common, ask for an introduction, but be prepared. Don't make that person look bad. Have a marketing deck. Have an email prepared. Have some type of presentation that says, hey, this is me. I'm Lewis or I'm Alex. I do this and that. I talk about these topics. This is my podcast. This is how many people listen. This is where they listen. This is what I want to bring value. It's only going to take 20, 30 minutes of your time. We're going to be in and out. Be efficient. So it's almost impossible for people to tell you no, because you're so prepared. Yeah. That's how we've done it.
Exactly.
We've done it the old school way, through relationships and through hard work, through outreach, getting to people. And we've been able to get some world-class people on the podcast and get ourselves on some great podcasts too. So the power of relationships shouldn't be overlooked. Just because somebody can't do something for you immediately at this moment does not mean that they are of no use to you, or like you shouldn't speak to them. Relationships are important. You help people, people help you. You build communities of people collaborating and helping with each other. Like, look at you, brother. Look how many people you've connected us to and how many introductions you've made. And you didn't have to do that, right? Or I didn't have to go and tell people, hey, go get the book or this and that. But it genuinely came to us because we had a good communication, and everything stems out of communication.
Right. And that's a huge, huge lesson there. I think, I don't know where I learned it from, man, but I just started realizing, like, hey, if you do good things for other people, it'll reciprocate. It won't reciprocate right away, but it'll happen 2-3 months, 4 months, a year down the road. Like, for example, I met a guy in 2018. He became a client this month. It took me a year and a half to continue to follow up, add value, send him gifts. And this guy's, you know, he had like a $1 billion exit. I mean, he does not need me whatsoever. He could buy my company if he wanted to in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? So, but it, like, I knew, like, it's going to happen. I'm going to be the number one guy in his mailbox, his emails, his face, you mean DMs and Instagram comments I left for this guy over the year. And it's like you're saying, it's that tenacity that I think, and it's, this doesn't have to be as hard as people think. I think you can definitely build a system around it. But if you realize that those people, if you get one of those people to add so much value to them that they can't ignore you, then all you knock down essentially a lot of other dominoes along the way, because you've created such a great relationship with this one person. It'll now alleviate a lot of the other things you have to do, or it'll make a lot of other things easier as you go along. So I think you're right. Like, focusing on the few, maybe not the many, is probably the biggest lesson. If you've got 20, 30 people following you on Instagram, that's fine. If you've got
20
podcasts, like my podcast doesn't get a lot of downloads. I don't pay attention to it as much as I would usually for another client. But for me, it's a relationship building platform. So I know for me, one of my podcasts is Average to Expert. And I will bring people on there, build a great relationship, and then we'll go from there. And I'm not looking for that podcast to be fast. I'm using it as a different strategy. But the relationships is where honestly, man, that's probably 80 to 90% of the benefit of having a podcast in my book, for me, in my game. Other people, it's different. But there's different ways you can slice it, but that's definitely one of them. The biggest things I think people, A, don't realize, because it's not an immediate benefit. And then B, there's not a system or framework around how to do that. How do you build a long-term relationship with somebody who just came on your podcast? There's not a lot of people teaching that. And I think that's something that you could definitely, you've done really well with.
I mean, and the other thing is that, I'll put it into example, because you have a book, you're an author. You could sell 100,000 copies of your book, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say your book is about entrepreneurship or building brands. You sold 100,000 copies. How many of those people actually read through the whole thing and put it to action? Your goal in marketing that book should be to get as many people to finish the whole damn thing and implement it. Why? Yeah. Because it doesn't matter if 100,000 people bought it, right? Because what if only 1,000 people took action? But what if 1,000 people bought the book and 1,000 people took action and 1,000 people saw results? Now you have 1,000 loyalists who live and breathe everything in your book and go tell everybody about it and shout it from the hills like I do. Anytime I hear any shit about a podcast, blurting your book out to everybody so they buy it, because I know I finished and I believe. So what really happens there? Do you need 100,000 copies sold, or do you need 1,000 copies to change people's lives, which will then multiply at a rate you won't even be able to keep track of? Like The Miracle Morning. You've probably read The Miracle Morning for entrepreneurs, or books like that, or Napoleon Hill's. Like, when the books get pushed down, or there's another one I want to talk about, Never Split the Difference, right?
Yeah.
That's another great book. Okay. Everybody's talking about that book. because everybody's talking about it. It's not because the cover looks pretty or because you saw it on advertisement. It's because people actually saw value in it. And that's one of the things that I think gets overlooked in podcasting is think about the few, not about the many, so you could impact them and their lives being impacted therefore means that the word of mouth is going to spread like a virus.
Correct.
And that's ultimately what you're looking for. But we live and we learn through this podcasting and social media and all of this. The landscape is changing really fast. There's so many people to meet. You were just talking about one of your associates who had a $1 billion exit and how you have value-driven follow-up. And that's another thing. Value-driven follow-up is very important. Whether you're in podcasting, whether you have a business and you're doing outreach for sales, follow-up is everything. You know, the magic and the money is in the follow-up. You usually won't close people until the fifth or seventh touch point on value-driven follow-up, not just being annoying, saying, hey, following up on my invoice or following up on this, sending them something that is going to help them or helps them know that you're thinking about them. That way they know that you have them top of mind. I'll give you an example. As we speak right now, we have a client that's waiting for a phone call in about an hour and 30 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Not a client, but a potential client. We've been negotiating with them for 1 year.
Right.
Sometimes they don't make the meeting. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't pick up the call. And it's things that, you know, tend to happen as they're building their business or they're about to launch. And now that things are getting serious and they're actually ready to go, we're the only people that have stuck with them through all of that shit. And I know it's hard, bro, that, you know, you don't want people to waste your time, but look, it's been a year. And now that client, and we didn't even know, has six contracts that they have lined up for us if we do a good job on the first one. So a year of follow-up, a year of nurturing and taking care of people and being patient can now equal maybe a six-figure monthly contract for the agency as a whole. So it's very important to think about how you could bring value to people. When you're looking to bring value to an organization or to someone, one of the things that I read in the book, Numbers Split the Difference, is to ask the following question. What does it take to be successful here? What does it take to be successful with you? Why? Because people don't usually ask these questions. If you go to somebody who's in a position that can help you out or provide an opportunity for you, and you want to help but don't know how to, but you know you have the drive, the time, and the willingness to do it.
Yeah.
One of the things you could do is ask, what does it take to be successful with you? What do we have to do? And how can I show you that that could get done? You'd be surprised how many people don't hear that and how many people will react positively to hearing that and will give you an opportunity. So this goes beyond podcasting. This goes beyond the topic that we're talking about right now, but it ultimately all means the same thing. If you want to get a podcast guest, if you want to get an internship, if you want to get a job, if you want to get a contract, you want to get an opportunity, you need to remember that you're dealing with human beings. You're dealing with human beings with emotions. You're dealing with human beings who have done business and know their way around the bullshit. You just have to be an individual that's transparent, ready to work, ready to cut the shit, because there is an abundance of people who don't do shit and there is very little people that actually get the work done. So if you discipline yourself enough to stand out and to have the right routines to make you responsible and to make you somebody that's reliable, you're going to be somebody that always sticks out. And one of the things that helps you get there is listening to podcasts, reading books, taking notes, becoming better, asking questions, being not afraid to ask questions, because you're not a fool for asking questions. You're a fool for not asking them, right? Because the person that asked a question may look like the fool for the moment, right? In some cases. But the person that didn't ask the question is going to be a fool for a lifetime because now they don't know. And that person was a fool for 10 seconds, but now they know. So the smartest people in the room usually ask the most questions. So for those of us, because I've been there, who are maybe a little bit introverted or shy or don't want to look like a dumb one, don't be afraid, man. Ultimately, this is your path. This is your life journey. Whatever you need to ask, whatever you need to feel, you don't need to be ashamed. Okay, there's way too many people out there with too many issues, everybody trying to cover up their issues and everybody trying to act perfect. There's no perfect. You know, you have your shit, Lewis, I have my shit, and we still find a way to come out here and try to be our best every day. And ultimately, that's what I want the listeners to understand right now. Whatever advice you're taking from this episode and whatever you're listening on this episode that you feel could be applied to your life, just understand that we've learned it through screwing up. We've learned it through studying. We've learned it through associating ourselves with other people. The one thing you have to do is break out of your shell and understand that whatever situation you're in right now doesn't dictate where you're going to end up. It's just, that's just your current reality. You yourself today could wake up and completely change your life. You could do a 180. Everything could be completely different in a positive perspective, of course, if you just decide to change the way that you look at things, right?
Big, big time. One of the things, I think you touched on something really good there about asking. And it's something I came across, literally, dude, I've been going to events since like 2014, started going to events coming out of college. And one of the things that I didn't do initially was I didn't want to ask questions at events because I didn't want to look stupid. Yeah. That is the dumbest thing. And it's here's the funny thing though. When you ask questions at events, dude, you get you that guy or gal who does that becomes the popular one at the break-off section, at sessions. Like they're the ones who get all the people coming up to them saying, oh, I had that same question. Or, oh, how did you overcome this? And it's something last year I started doing and it's been a complete game changer. So one tip, if you want to get more people to talk, like if you're an introvert like me, when you go to events, like I don't really like to go and introduce myself to a group of people at an event. If you ask the question, people will actually come to you. And it's weird. I don't know why, but like you've now opened up your and shown you're vulnerable and people love it. So it's
hard. I mean, look, man, when I started going to events, and I go to events now to listen and learn, but a majority of the events I go to, I'm a speaker. So I have to prepare a presentation, prepare a curriculum. That shit's nerve-wracking, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to it already. I could get on a podcast. I could go on TV, interviews, all these things that I do. I chop it up. But dude, I'm a human being. Like, sometimes I feel like shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm upset. Sometimes somebody pissed me off. Sometimes I don't know what I want to talk about, or I'm not entirely sure what I want to talk about. Or sometimes I'm just fucking anxious, bro. Like, shit, I'm about to go speak in front of 300 people. Like, these are 300 people that really want to change their life. Am I giving them everything that they need or everything that they need to be successful? And I've been on that side, and I've also been on the side of sitting down on the chairs. And it's difficult because when you're at an industry event, there's usually a lot of people from the industry, and you don't want to be that person that didn't know that small detail. But you know what? Fuck it. Because if you don't know that small detail and you leave that day and you continue fucking up, that small detail is going to continue to haunt you. I'd rather look like I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about for 2 minutes, but leaving there, I implemented that. And now the next time I come back, I'm one of the people helping people out.
Right.
But that all stems from the ego, bro. That all stems from the ego. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of things that you could read about that could help you overcome that, because we're human beings that make mistakes. And a lot of the times we let ego and emotions influence the things that we do every day, which is in most cases a mistake.
Yeah.
We have to be level-headed. Some great books you could read about that. The Seed of the Soul is a book that I'm reading right now. Surrender Experiment, The Untethered Soul. Those are some good books that you could read about that. And pretty much besides that, behavioral psychology is another great thing that people could study when negotiating or when looking to get into business is, you know, insecurity. You have to say things with conviction. When you walk into the room, own the room. Don't be cocky. Don't be an asshole. But have your, you know what you stand for. You know, ask questions with conviction. Don't be afraid, you know, shoulders tucked in, insecurity. No, none of that. You know, everybody has worth. Everybody has the right to do what they want to do. And by studying and by becoming a well-studied, well-versed person, you're going to be able to have an easier time, because the way the world works is it works in favor of the people who have the most knowledge, right? A lot of the times we find ourselves like falling into these pits of things maybe like happening over and over, and we're like, fuck, like, why does this keep happening? Or like, damn, like, I can't catch a fucking break. Well, you can't catch a fucking break because you don't give yourself the break, right? You think that reading is stupid. You think that studying is stupid, and it's not. Reading those 20 minutes of that book about taxes, maybe because you don't know about taxes and you're having issues with the IRS or maybe something else, legal stuff. If you would have just had an advisor, paid an advisor, bought a book, sat down and read, sat down and studied, now you have the knowledge to overcome. Dude, I had so many issues with taxes and credit and financial literacy when I first started my business. I had no clue what I was doing, how to file taxes, W-9s,
right,
contracts, all of these things that cost me thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in mistakes that I could have easily avoided if I picked up a $20 book and read it. So guys, invest in yourself. Do not be afraid to take time to yourself, even in your crazy schedule, to sit down for 20, 30 minutes, listen to a podcast, read a book, watch a video, get a mentor, ask questions, get an advisor, and fix the issues that you have right now, because it's going to pay back for you tenfold.
Dude, what one book I want to add to that list of ego for leaving yourself with the ego is Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. Okay. Such a good book. I listen to it probably every year, once or twice, because it tells such good stories about historic people who have seemingly been great, but they've really, really effed up in some other places where it's like, you could tell their ego just got in the way of them. And it's such a good book for that. Just understand. It tells the how to relieve your ego through a story, through some really good storytelling. So for me, it's a great book there to add as well.
We're going to add that on the show notes, guys. If you're listening, everything we've talked about, all the resources we talked about are going to be in the show notes. Whatever app you're listening on, if it doesn't show you the show notes, be not afraid. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/podcast. You'll see all the podcast episodes. You'll see a breakdown of every episode with the resources there. Now, guys, with that being said, thank you so much for listening, taking the time to listen to us. Make sure that you guys follow Luis Ryan Diaz on Instagram. That's Luis Ryan Diaz altogether on Instagram. Check him out. Check out How to Get Your First 100,000 Podcast Downloads in 100 Days, the 5 Simple Proven Strategies that Create a Perpetual Stream of New and Loyal Listeners for Your Podcast. Luis, thank you so much for being on, my brother.
Dude, it's always a pleasure. Good talking to you, man.
All righty, guys. See you guys next week.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.